This is the reading group meeting of LPRG. It's the 16th of September 2015. The paper we're discussing is out of the 2015 second issue of Journal of Blackness Research. It's by Carmen, forgive the pronunciation, Maiz Arevlo. And the title is Jocular Mockery in Computer-Mediated Communication, a Contrastive Study of a Spanish and English Facebook Community.
This paper posed a lot of questions.
I think the biggest one that I had after reading it was, I'm not sure that, based on the paper and not knowing the literature, that I actually understand what jocular mockery is.
I had to go through some examples and go, sorry, when I just read them quickly, I thought, well, what's mockery in that? And then I read the analysis and went, oh, that bit. Mm. Oh, okay, I suppose so. But there was nothing which shouted out at me mocking.
I thought it, with some of her examples from the literature definition, seemed to be kind of a bit on the. Just like, I'm not sure that actually that would come into my understanding of how you've defined it. Mm-hmm. So some of them didn't seem to be mocking, you know. Mm.
But she put in her definition, it was about diminishing. Mm-hmm. And mockery isn't just diminishing, is it?
No, for me, it's finding a little thing to chip away at and make a negative evaluation about. Mm-hmm. And those two things don't necessarily go, yeah, I mean, I suppose you can diminish without having a negative evaluation. Can you?
But because it's jocular, I guess it doesn't have to be that negative. You know, it can only be negative in a friendly way. You know, I can't be a cutting negativeness, I suppose.
But I think that lies at the heart of the problem for me. Mm. Because, I mean, just taking it back to my own experience of what I would maybe recognise as jocular mockery with people I know, it's not as clear-cut as that. I mean, someone says something using jocular mockery, and you think, fuck off, that's really appalling. You've just said that to me. You know, and you laugh along with it, but inside, you're dying. because you know the person actually did mean it. So this is what I've found a problem with all the banter research, which I'm really interested in, you know, and the so-called mock impoliteness, again, a problematic term. That it's not clear cut, and let's not pretend it is clear cut, because I think this does pretend that, you know, we know when jocular mockery is happening. People say the most appalling things to me during the daytime at work, and they do it laughing and smiling, and I'm supposed to laugh and smile as well. We both know, you know, that it's not really jocular mockery, but that's how we get through the day. Maybe that shouldn't be on the
too late. But one example I didn't understand, so this is a person who's broken their foot or broken their leg or whatever, and the utterance which is meant to be the mocking bit is, master those crutches, they'll get you to the front of the queue.
Well, he's making a joke, isn't
it? Well,
it's
jocular.
But it's not mockery.
No, I think it's saying, you know,
it's trying to make the best of the situation.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. No. Okay. You're in a bad way because you've got a broken foot, but let's look on the light side. Mm. And for me, that wasn't mocking.
Mm. I had the same feeling with the one where it's someone posts a picture and says, "You're welcome to come and stay."
Yeah.
And then they say, "Green." That's how I am right now. I don't know how. I didn't get how that was mocking that same.
Oh, thing. I understood green to be an elliptic form of green with envy.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah. But you're right. Is it mock? How's that?
But
mock?
Who's being mocked?
Yeah. No.
Oh, and sorry. And in that same example, it's people threatening to come to stay. I didn't understand because the post was come and stay.
Yeah.
So I didn't get it. So some of the examples I didn't get.
I think that was just what I felt. There seemed to be a lot of examples and not a lot of explanation of the examples, and I felt like I could have
not
half
a lot of
half of the examples and a bit more. contextualization.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, yeah,
especially for the Spanish
examples. You've gone through the examples, and then they all came up again.
Yeah,
yeah.
Without
wait a minute, haven't I read that?
Yeah, I got really confused. I thought I was turning pages backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it was then with the next turn, wasn't it? The next, the response. So.
One of the things that I struggled with, and I'd be interested to see what you guys think of this as linguists, with my anthropology background, I struggled with the fact that there's no mention of socialisation or the use of joking, teasing, whatever you want to call it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about joking in the anthropological literature as a form of control. And that's how you socialise children, particularly as the context in which it's originally written. Into knowing that this is an appropriate or not an appropriate way to behave. So rather than telling off, it's done through teasing.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know, when we think about it, we all know that that's what happens a lot. It's a way of having a moan at someone, but you do it in a jokey way,
mm-hmm.
so that they don't think they're not too sure whether or not you're really moaning at them.
And the workplace stuff is about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about, actually, I do mean this, but I'm going to do it in a way that you might be able to accept.
Yeah.
And where we can say we're a group, and this is how we deal with conflict.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, my boss does that.
Yeah.
My other boss doesn't, thankfully. but I mean, I also thought. I mean, perhaps from work out from the sort of, anthropology, ethnography side, I wanted to know what this. I mean, I know there's issues with anonymity and so forth, but I kind of wanted to know what this Facebook group was oriented around. What is bringing this particular group of people together? I think we needed to know something about it. I mean, it sounded as though it might be something academic, possibly.
Because
I think the reason that people are engaging makes a difference. You know,
why
they're there
so
makes a difference to what
is
they're going to post.
Is this an actual Facebook group?
Yeah. Well, I think
well,
it was.
I unclear.
That was one of the
questions
in the methodology.
What I interpreted to be was that she just took the first three posts or whatever it was from her news feed.
Yes.
In which case, is she never actually says anywhere whether she's in the data?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
I
had an issue with that.
I think she does.
Oh, she
say
does.
That she is.
Oh, right, okay. Because I don't know if.
Did she?
Oh, maybe I've misread that.
No, I don't know.
She didn't tell them that she was doing the research until afterwards.
Yes.
I think that's another problem.
Yeah. She says that she connected to Facebook once or twice a week and gathered for examples. That appeared in my personal news feed. It doesn't say that it's from a particular group.
Right. But she did earlier. She talked about it being a group. Then when it came onto the methodology,
that's quite important, isn't it? Because if you're in a particular group, you can sort of, I think you can say more.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I'm quite sort of, I swear a lot in particular groups, but on my open thing, I don't swear quite so much. So it does make a difference, doesn't it? I mean, how can you do jocular mockery on an open post? You know, because you don't know who you're talking to.
Well, that is a problem with Facebook because of extended, depending on how you got privacy settings set
up.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
sort of
the other thing. We don't get that information.
Yeah.
The thing that made me think that it was a group, so on page 295, just before section on ethics, she says, this Facebook community has approximately 100 participants, and people join and drop in and drop out.
Yeah.
And it sat, so that made me feel like it was some kind of.
But that could just be her friend.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is this just her Facebook profile?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, Andrew. I interpreted that from that, but equally, when she was describing the methodology, it didn't seem quite.
Yeah, so it wasn't clear who these people were.
Yeah.
And she also said. On that same page, the thing about settings, so Facebook allows users to select, etc., despite this undeniable importance, these contextual aspects are unfortunately beyond the scope of the present paper. And I thought, God, that's what I need to know in order to know.
Yeah, because I thought she was actually overly generous with it. I mean, I always write, my papers are always too long. And I'm always trying to cram too much data in, but I'm not repeating data. And so
You could have used some of that more
Could have used that for more depth.
Is that the right word?
I mean, I think just to be able to say, okay, these were my settings.
On
this. So this post only went to 10 people, for example. Because we don't know that this is all the same I mean, if it is a group, then we don't know whether it's all the same group.
Because
it isn't, because there's Spanish
and British. Well, exactly. The Spanish and British community, I wasn't sure how they were split, like how they were different, how they worked. I didn't understand that, actually.
I wasn't really sure how people are defined as being British and what that...
Exactly.
Because there are people there that seem to... It sounds as though they live abroad.
Exactly,
yes,
that's what I asked as well.
Yeah.
There was some Spanish in one of the British examples.
Yeah, I
struggled with the lack of what I would call reflexivity, and it's sort of just acknowledging, okay, I've seen all of this in this data, however, it's possibly very, very skewed because of X, Y, Z. We didn't see the limitations.
No, she talked a lot about it being... small numbers.
Yeah, but there was more.
But not in a very reflexive way.
No.
I mean, I thought she, because one of the things she was doing is thinking, oh, you know, when she put these things into categories and then tried to make comparisons across them, I'm thinking, well, you know, one obvious, if you're going to do any kind of, one really obvious thing you could have done is looked at those categories that didn't, you know, what about the examples like that didn't create jocular mockery?
Mm-hmm.
You know, were there lots of them?
Yeah.
Or, you know,
that
might have given a little bit more
contextualisation.
We found that quite frustrating.
We also don't know across examples whether or not the same person
is U1 always U1.
Yeah.
Or is it just U1 in that particular phrase?
Whereas I would prefer to actually had a numbering system which you could
was consistent.
Track across examples if needs be.
Because that, I mean, just if you're making any generalisation, I know it isn't really, but if you've got the same person coming up multiple times, then that is problematic.
True,
just from.
Yeah.
And it started off, I thought, as a quantitative paper, because it was, you know, I've got this corpus, etc.
Yeah.
And then it ended up with this sort of tiny qualitative paper. And I thought, well, how do we get from that quantitative focus to the qualitative stuff? I mean, you know, I don't mind, you know, people mix and match within qualitative and quantitative, but that's not how it started off, really.
So what about, like, what the research is trying to do, like looking at mockery or jocular mockery in an online...
That's an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why the paper was included.
No, I can see it's an interesting topic. I mean, I think Facebook is quite a difficult thing to work with because, and I think on the and I thought you kind of dealt with the ethics thing rather superficially, but it is. I mean, you know, doing ethics on Facebook is very, very difficult because. You know, when she said, oh, well, I've posted it. Well, but half the people who posted on somebody else's, they may well never have seen that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
right. But the connection of mockery in a site, in a social site, which is designed for cohesiveness, it was an interesting thing to look at.
I didn't quite, and I think this is, well, I mentioned this to you on the phone the other day, I didn't quite get the I don't know if you call it extended or whatever, but the definition shift from Hoare's definition of jocular mockery to the one used in this paper.
Yeah.
And it based on the fact that it's just at the top of literature review subpage 291. Hoare's definition is the speaker diminishes something of relevance to the person present, either self or other, or a third party who is not co-present with a non-serious or jocular frame. And then it says
Paragraph a bit down, half a paragraph down. Finally, it's important to mention that Hoare's definition of mockery does not wholly apply to Facebook, given that the participants are often co-present. Now, I've got a problem with this sentence. Who is the one that's
got
no co-present? Is it Hoare's who are co-present, or is it Facebook who are co-present? Hoare's, it's got to be Hoare's who are the co-present ones, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That only makes sense because it's face to face.
Whereas
Facebook, you're not co-present.
Okay,
I read that sentence.
So because we'd have
Hoare's
face to face things.
It doesn't make any sense otherwise.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to work out, is this special definition of co-present in that they have, like, anybody who is on Facebook has an opportunity to read, well, not anybody, but anybody who has access to it.
Because of the record.
So the third party might be.
Unfortunately, because you talked to me before I'd read it, I initially read it with your version, and then I've gone, no, that's not
as
what
As soon
means.
As you've been trained upon something, you can't read
that's
any
right.
other word.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah,
so it is the dislocation of these people which makes it different to face-to-face, or potentially has an impact.
And she says further down that banter is different from jocular mockery, in that in jocular mockery there's no verbal jawing.
Yeah, well, I think
well,
what she means
is...
It, So the banter would be both people doing equivalent things back and forth to each other.
Although that made me think that some examples might be good.
I've thought that's a clear banter, or a lot of that.
Just not a clear distinction. I mean, you know, I mean, we have these terms and we think that they are different, but it's just like the difference
they're
between
always
rudeness
be very
and politeness. They don't hold. You can't say this is, you know, because it's not an exchange, then it definitely is jocular mockery. Why?
You might have multiple comments, but they all go back to the original one, whereas, I mean, I think the kind of verbal dueling, you know, is almost more like, you know, each person insulting the other kind of thing, sort of independently of each other, rather than perhaps coming back to the original.
But is that a useful
point.
Functional distinction?
Yes,
yeah.
I don't know. That's another question. I mean, this is not something I've read. This is not an area I've read into really deeply or thought about really deeply, so I don't know.
If you have to define some linguistic phenomena as being kind of retroactively, based on whether or not it's reciprocated, becoming a thing, then it doesn't really serve a distinctive function.
It's not in the moment, is it?
And it's certainly not anything that participants might be thinking, oh, you know, is this an exchange?
Yeah, because,
we have to get back to that.
Well, certainly when you do the first move, you don't know what's going to happen next.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say.
So if it's retroactive, I mean, I think if we're going to make definitions, they have to be ones which, you know, are focused on what the participants... seen.
So contextual expectations.
Indeed.
So if you're expecting, you're going to, and that might be to do with individuals. So if Andrew says something, then we might well become banter.
Quite quickly.
Yes, quite quickly.
Extended.
Yes.
Over years.
Many years, at least 2 decades by now. So, you know, it's sort of, so it's, but then with somebody else on Facebook, then that probably wouldn't work right. So it's very down to offline relationships.
Yeah, and I think making the distinction between banter and jocular mockery to describe that is not useful. I think banter is something different again, and that the way it's sort of treated as a thing, banter, I think is different. To, you know, it's not a sort of, I don't know. The way she's talking about it is in terms of the constituents within... the discussion, and I think banter is framed in a different way.
For me, which might not in any way be for anybody else, one of the functional differences between banter and this mockery or teasing things is the thing that you mentioned is whether it's meant to have a bit of a hurtful sting.
Yeah.
Whereas banter, I think, is, you know, saying nasty things, but we all really believe it's for fun.
Yeah.
Whereas the mocking thing, the word mocking is to undercut somebody.
But I think also banter now has people identify themselves as doing banter. And I think
as an excuse sometimes.
Yes, and now that people are identifying themselves as doing it, and it is a particularly sort of masculinist thing.
It's just banter.
You know, bants, all that sort of stuff. I mean, I think we can't ignore that, the fact that it's something that people say they're doing.
Mm.
So I think we should listen to people, even if they're wrong.
What about the thing about take up, her judgment about whether or not people were, you know, using sort of responses, lack of responses, uses of like as a way of, you know, to, as a way of evaluating what the, you know, the original status writer thought.
I didn't necessarily agree with her idea of what like would be used as, because I've seen some really sarcastic likes.
It doesn't mean
I like this. And also, I mean,
how can you see that it's sarcastic?
Well, I mean, this is completely, you know, you can't test it.
No.
But you just as a person, I know it is. Where, you know, I don't know. I mean, say somebody writes a passive aggressive kind of, you know, I'm really annoyed with my workmates or something, and then you know somebody that we work with likes the status.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or I really love something happening where it's obviously
that
they're already saying something sarcastic.
Yeah.
Right.
And then she talks about it having pragmatic Yeah, pragmatic and very convenient, but I don't really know.
Well, she's referring to another paper there, which I don't know.
I think she means to say that it's easy to you, because you convey some information when you like something, which can
quickly and easy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But also, it has a wide range of meanings. I think that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my dog's dead. You know, and you like it. It's not saying you like the fact that the dog is dead.
However, did you hear this morning that there's going to be dislike buzzers? Sorry, talking about banter and people doing it, I'm on somebody's Facebook page. I won't tell you who it is. see whether you can guess. But they posted a photo of somebody who was at school in America who got sent home for wearing a "Nobody Knows I'm a Lesbian" t-shirt. So that's the thing. And the comment goes, "So much for freedom of expression. Way to go, America. You guys need to apologise, pay 300 years of overdue tea taxes, and we'll happily take you back." Brackets. Banter. I don't think it's banter at all. Is it, Derek?
But
he wrote that. So, it's not banter, but it's people are using the term to.
Yeah.
It's like the no offence.
Yeah.
You
know, yes.
I'm going to say something appalling.
Yeah.
Banter.
Yes. Get out of joke. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. Sorry,
I've not got a sense of humour.
Yeah.
I've written. I certainly never knew you were a lesbian,
banter,
Derek.
Also the thing on 290. It's hypothesised that British participants will make a further use of the document mockery than their Spanish counterparts.
Yeah, that's unsubstantiated, isn't it?
I thought that, but then is she referencing it in the following sentence? Is she saying that Hall said this in 2010?
290 in the middle.
Because I exploded when I read that sentence.
I mean, because of course Spanish people, you know, they never engage.
And then I read the second one and I thought, is it just...
Is it
the style of
it?
Referencing? Because she wanted to say two things, and grammatically it was two separate sentences, but it was the same reference.
But how?
Well, Hall
might
have said something like, "This may differ across cultures," I suspect.
Yeah, because I was thinking, well, would Hall have said that? I don't know.
I'm sure he wouldn't have said something specifically about English and Spanish, because I can't see he would have any reason to. But he might have said that this might vary across cultures, because it might.
Mm. But do you think he would have said about the English culture? Would he have said that this is something which is highly associated with English culture?
Because that seems to be the driving force.
Yes.
You know, that's basically what the article is about.
Yes.
Yeah.
To show
yes.
that
and
English
not,
people use
yeah.
more jocular
yeah.
mockery than
yeah.
Spanish people,
yeah.
and she proves that it doesn't, which
yeah.
is fine. However, I'm not sure that she does prove that.
Mm.
Well, she doesn't have enough evidence to prove anything.
No.
I mean, she would have been better off just looking at it, some of those examples in more detail and saying, isn't this interesting, and
yeah.
looking at cross rather than trying to make big claims about...
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I've just searched his 2010 paper.
Right.
The word British doesn't appear at all.
Does the word English?
Yeah.
Oh, English. Okay.
English.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. That's... I will search.
This is British participants.
Why English culture?
Yeah.
What is English culture?
Do you not know?
Yeah, you just don't have an outsider's perspective, do you?
I mean, he has got a whole section 2.1 jocular mockery in English. That's English, not.
Well, yeah, but I think that not.
Not English culture.
Well, no, but that might just be the way that she paraphrased it,
but,
and that might be what she's referencing.
But most of Michael's data presumably won't be English. British English.
Yeah.
He's got Anglo-Australian. Is the 2010 paper.
Right. Okay. So that is problematic.
Hang on. Some people argue that speakers of English are often aware of the potential challenges to assessments. So he is talking about some Englishy things, anyway.
But yeah, not a lot.
No.
Probably not enough to justify what she's
saying. No, there are not enough mentions of the word English to talk about culture to say we're going to do it more, I don't think.
Mm.
I'd have to search harder, but I don't think it's likely to be there.
But there is that sort of problematic assertion that through this analysis you can count the number of times that jocular mockery happens, which I don't think you can, and that you can assess the way that people respond to it, which I don't think you can, because...
No.
You know, we've seen there are problems of definition, and we've seen that people's responses to it are not clear-cut, they're not self-evident. I mean, the fact that someone laughs along with something or doesn't respond.
I think in particular it doesn't
respond,
so I can think of someone certainly on Facebook where...
Yeah.
We know if I put a status up and put a very fit, you know, put, you know, and I have thought I'm not going to respond to
no,
that.
Absolutely. So how would we categorise that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We would say, fine, did not respond, you know, ignored it, and obviously was unaffected by it. So I think we need something a bit more.
Because yeah, you look at it and think, I don't particularly like that, but it's just not worth my effort.
But
yeah,
also, you can't measure
yeah.
a no response to a didn't see the post.
Yeah,
you can't
no.
differentiate.
Yeah, so
no.
you know, how would you, if you would, if you would approach a Facebook community,
yeah.
how would you go about doing?
Because on the whole, you're going to see if you're the person you're, because you'll get you know. It, well, I suppose it depends how you set up your alerts and stuff. But you know, I get
and
email
you know,
saying somebody has commented on your how
yeah.
desperately I'm avoiding trying to do
yeah.
other work. For example, oh look, I've got a notification.
Yeah.
So you know, I do, and I don't post a huge amount. So you know, I'm not somebody who posts oodles. So we'll just you know let things go. But yeah, that's really specific things about particular users.
I mean, some groups which does actually say this post has been seen by X people and lists who it has been seen by.
Really?
But that doesn't necessarily.
Does
but that just
yeah.
means they've logged onto that page.
I was just going to
so
say.
So you don't necessarily
yeah,
have read it or seen
all the
it.
Alerts,
or,
but I just clear them.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah,
look at half of it. I don't really need to know which restaurants have been liked and God knows what.
Oh God, yeah, that all the stuff I ignore. But yeah, if somebody's they actually come into my post, I usually
yeah.
look.
Yeah.
But it's that complexity which I think, if you're going to talk about Facebook, you've got to.
You've really got to engage with how
you've
the
got
thing
to address
works.
The research on Facebook as
mm.
a social media. I think there's.
I mean, she does a bit, but I mean, and I'm sure what she's doing is squashing it into the space because she's used so much space
mm-hmm.
on data. But
yeah,
I think she would.
Yeah.
Would have been better off, and it's probably something I should listen to myself. I'm so good at giving advice and not living by it, but you know, a
yeah.
bit less data and a bit more theory, I mean, a bit more
yeah.
consideration.
That subtlety of and I think this is probably one of the things that repeats itself in various guises in this paper, of not taking things on fairly face value and not unpacking them.
Yeah.
There's an example 33 where an utterance
page
is. 319, bottom of 319. So a guy's posted a photograph in a yoga position. I won't be impressed until you levitate, man. Ha ha, very funny, is the response.
Mm-hmm.
And Carmen here has said that ha ha, very funny is taking it to be jocular
yeah.
and light.
Yeah.
Well, arguably, ha ha, very funny is very much not.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
think that's very funny.
Yeah.
It can be. I'm taking offence at that. So.
Mm. Yeah.
Without an emoticon there, you can't really. So you could have this tongue sticking out emoticon
yeah.
or
then
or
yeah.
a
with that
emoticon.
Yeah.
Even with the emoticon, you see, I mean, I think emoticons. Everyone says you know they're absolutely clear. They're fucking not. You
no.
know, I mean, I've seen emoticons where I think, well, what do you mean by that?
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, is that supposed to be? I think this is really funny, or take this as really funny, or I mean, emoticons are not self-evidently clear. And people often use emoticons to make clear ambiguous statements, but I don't think they do.
And also, they can become deranged,
yeah.
depending what software you're using. If you're using archaic software, or if it's
computer, gets turned into an L or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, stuff doesn't translate between my Samsung and my Sony.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a bit mean. Another thing that I had a bit of a problem with was she talks about the sites being where you find it is in initiating moves are the ones that trigger. And the initiating moves are either tell us about what you're doing or tell us what you're thinking. And I've written, what other options are there for an initiating move in Facebook other than telling people what you're doing or something that you're thinking?
Well, the structure is there, isn't it, within Facebook itself. I mean, that's... You're given that.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, we have been quite mean about this, consistently mean.
So let's.
I was really glad I read this, actually, because it did make me recognise a lot of things about things that we say too easily. And it did make me really, really think. You know, that's why I started off with this poses lots of questions, because I think it does, and we've had a really. Good discussion about a lot of things. So if you're listening, Carmen, you know,
yeah.
it's really served a good
yeah.
purpose,
yeah.
I think. It's certainly made me realise the complexity of making sense of other people on Facebook.
And as with all things, when you are the first person to do a something, you've got to start small. Can't start, you know, with the full answer.
I think a really interesting thing as well that I was thinking about reading this is, does that translation of what you're thinking about and the like and things like that, does that change the type of initiating move? I mean, it's sort of like what you were just saying. I can't remember what Spanish translation of what you're thinking about. Or what does it say in the States?
Oh, yes, what's your thoughts or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
And does what's on your mind?
Yeah, it's what's on your mind, isn't it, for the,
yeah.
for the
English
Facebook? And what is it for the Spanish? It's in a footnote somewhere, isn't it?
Hey, Jim.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, here we are. What are you thinking about?
Oh, it's on 309.
So just
what
the
form, are you thinking?
Yeah, does the form of the question change what type of thing you write about? Is there, I thought that was quite interesting.
Mm. So do you think that's different?
The translation?
Yeah.
Mm. What are you thinking about and what's on your mind? What is a little bit more? For me, what's on your mind?
Okay,
what are you thinking about?
Yeah,
it's
more about
And what are you thinking about, for me, is more immediate.
Yes.
What's happening at this moment, what's on your mind,
it's
might
just
be.
A
what have you been thinking about recently?
I thought that was kind of an interesting cross-cultural way to use Facebook to get the data.
And do you think that elicits different data?
Oh, well, I've no idea. Intuitively, I suppose I couldn't do it, otherwise I wouldn't think it was interesting. So that was just something that came from it that I thought was a really good thing. It made me think about different... If you have access to the Spanish and English, then it would be interesting.
There was also an interesting thing about, I can't remember, but it was the one thing where I thought that there's potentially a really interesting follow-up study, and it was to do with, I think this is right, in the Spanish language, there were more likes.
Like was being used more
as a response to statuses and things. As opposed to the English one, and that in itself is potentially something that, if you could blow up the study, that would be a really easy thing to test. And
you could have just looked about. I mean, maybe you didn't even need that to be looking at Jockey and Mockery for that. Maybe you could have actually used all the data you'd got to see if people did seem to be using more lines. But then, of course, you also don't know who are the subset people are looking at. Is the Spanish group a bigger group, and therefore there might be more likes because there's just more people looking at it.
And don't you find there are differences within your English Facebook groups
I mean,
in terms of the amount that they like?
And also within the group of people in the English group. So, you know, you have people who really, you know, like everything, I imagine. Because there's somebody who kept liking all the comments in the thread, which is, for me, a really weird thing to do.
I think that was the original person. That was the original person putting the thing in.
Why would you do that?
Well, just say that we appreciate
I do it because once you've liked one, you then think, oh no, if I don't like the next one, they'll know that.
Don't like anyone.
Yeah, okay,
For God's sake, it's a comment.
But sorry, back onto the who's doing the liking. Also depends on who's up and on Facebook at the time that you put the feed on. Because if your feed is, you know, from 8 hours ago, you won't get so many. So, as it happens, last night at 12:30 or so, I put a status which was, midnight, reading Goffman, been here before, and no doubt I'll return. It's one of my favourite places. And I've had 16 people like that post, but they all liked it at around about midnight to 1 o'clock in the morning. You know.
Nobody liked it today.
I saw it this morning and thought, bloody typical.
Sorry, but so my point is there is...
There isn't a sign for that, is there?
It's not,
there really should be.
Is that a brand? Because you've got 16 friends at the
time. I've got 16 friends, who know what government is. But it's also the contextualisation of who gets to see this, when they got to see it.
Yeah.
Whether you see a notification, you just go, oh, I'm not going to bother.
But that's also interesting because she was saying that the like wasn't being used as much by English people, and there's an example of that's for me that's quite a lot. And I'm thinking about the Facebook posts that I see, and I think that's more likely to be about that particular Facebook community rather than Spanish versus English, based just on my experience.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just
So again, we need to know whether it's a group or just a person.
What does it? I mean, let's just assume that this is friends. And this might be completely unwarranted, but I was just thinking about a scenario where I'm assuming that Carmen is Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, does Carmen live in Spain?
Yeah, she lives in Spain.
So you would think that in your life you would associate more with, as a younger person, with people in your local area. And then as you get older, maybe into the profession, then you start associating with people internationally.
Mm-hmm.
So you would expect that the English speakers, if this is her Facebook friend group, would be people who she has met through potentially work.
Whereas the
Spanish speakers could be people that
she's
known for years and years and years and years and years.
That's probably true on my Facebook. There was that split.
Yeah.
So you've got an imbalance between the sorts of people who are speaking Spanish on your Facebook with the sorts of people who are speaking English.
Yeah, certainly people who are posting on my Facebook string in other languages are typically people, academics I know through conferences.
Yeah,
because she did say that the group was between 25 to
45
years.
Yeah.
And I think, to back up what you're saying, that I think you get that impression from some of the posts and some of the context that she's put in, that I felt that the English was much more likely to be from an academic community than the Spanish ones.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing I wanted to find out what people thought was about the notion of bragging. I don't know that I understand it, and whether it has similar meanings in Spanish and English, and similar responses.
Mm.
You know, because at a stereotypical level, if we're thinking of stereotypical English politeness, you know, bragging is a serious problem.
Mm.
If it's showing off, isn't
it? Yeah,
yeah.
And I didn't see any of these initial posts doing anything which was, hey, look at me, look what I've got that you don't have.
Mm.
I mean, the one that was slightly like that was the either an inaugural lecture or something like that. It was an award.
Yeah.
But all the others, you know, I've got some new trainers, or I'm lying on the beach.
Yeah.
Or
and the trainers one wasn't a braggadocio thing. It was a look at me.
Oh my God!
I would say that was pride.
Yeah.
You know, I want to share with you. This is what's happened to me.
But
pride
also,
it
was
self
deprecation.
Yeah.
You say, you know, I never go running, but look at my lovely shoes. You know.
Yeah.
Or the one with cakes. Oh my God! Look at me. I'm doing knitting and thing. I'm almost ready for motherhood. That's not a brag that I've made some cakes. I think, you know, it's just...
He's almost like, shock, horror,
yeah.
I've made some cakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's happening? Well, I think that's the same with the shoes in a way, isn't it? It's the same sort of thinking.
But I think it's quite interesting how, you know, the sort of mechanics by which you can do or not do bragging within English. And I think because of all those stereotypes about... self-deprecation and problems about bragging. I think it is quite interesting. I mean, that would be a really interesting study.
I think we were talking about the stuff that you could do with the data set that's even more general, is look at all compliments.
Yeah.
Not just the ones that get an undercutting thing that's been called mockery.
Yeah.
Because if there are some which get mocked and there are some which don't get mocked, presumably part of the story about how and why they're getting mocked is in the obverse of that coin.
Yeah, exactly right.
Why do the other ones not?
That's what I was saying.
Or how do the other ones
not? Yeah, that's what I was saying. Just generally, you know, if you, yes.
Yeah.
You need to look at where they're not as well as where they are.
Yeah.
To learn something about it.
But then it would have been a 20,000 word paper, wouldn't it?
Well, no, it would. You just probably wouldn't have got the repeated exam. But I think it would have just given me a bit more depth.
Mm.
Yeah. You know? Mm. And I think the substance is, I would have rather have seen that than the contrast between Spanish and English.
Yeah,
it might have been more insightful.
Yeah.
Mm. Because it's so hard to talk about Facebook and... Because, you know... I mean, okay, she may not even know all the people who are posting on these, so knowing how well the individuals know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in giving that level of detail would be impossible, so I think you probably have to try and look at it in a different way. Or you can focus down on very small.
For me, she could have focused just on the example on page 308, which I thought was so beautiful. You know, get rid of the profile picture.
Yeah, that was good.
I thought that was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, the two sizes,
yes.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the fat face?
Yeah,
lose it, yeah.
You know, you could have just worked on that.
Yeah, see, that's not jocular mockery.
No, I mean, it's difficult to know what the hell is going on there,
yeah.
To be quite honest. But it's so interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's not, when he says also, you know, you see, it's not being nasty, but it's not jocular.
No.
It's deadly serious.
Mm.
And I think that was the ones I thought looked at and thought, no, I really don't think that's mockery. He's saying, no, just don't do that.
I thought some of the descriptions of the sort of context of the exchange was quite funny, where he appears particularly attractive.
Yes.
And then there was an early one where somebody looks particularly attractive and maybe expecting a compliment.
How do you look
that?
Like you're expecting a compliment?
I mean, the difficult thing is you do have to sort of put that gut feeling of what you have about the data, but it's difficult to convey sometimes in an objective way.
Yeah.
My sort of immediate feeling about this kind of thing is that people shouldn't use their own Facebook profiles.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Do things like Brooke Belander, where create a Facebook profile that people know is to do with research, and then invite people to join it, and then you could have a Spanish one and an English one, and then look at the differences between.
Well,
those
the argument there, though, is what she's saying is that you're sort of influencing the data from the off.
Yeah, well, you are, because that's not Facebook.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But
no,
if you look at public
not.
Pages, though, that would be.
Yeah.
Because
yeah. Some of the people in this on this in this data might have private settings; nobody can see them.
Yeah.
Mm.
Unless you're a friend, and I don't think I worry about the ethics of that.
Mm, yeah.
But here's the thing: for this phenomenon really to make sense to people, you have to know about the precise nature of the relationships that are involved.
Mm.
So you need that level of knowing who's in and why they're in and how they know each other and what they can get away with.
But even then, you don't know, because I mean, on that one on 308. She says her commentary is you one not only takes you two's apparent impolite comment good heartedly, she even thanks her for her honesty. Well, on the surface, yeah, but you know, is that what's going on? And
I find it very odd, because I thought if it was really that obvious, why is she explaining?
Yeah,
I found that if she said, "Oh, yeah, I want to die laughing," yeah, thanks for that. I'll do it. You know, babe, don't worry. But this extra bit, I just found was quite odd.
Mm.
Extra bit. Which
well, we were saying, oh, yeah, for all of you who were accidentally including this. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
you know, she's actually me. You know, I found that quite odd, because I mean, that's somebody who obviously. Well, I think, you know, it's also the way that people use their. Facebook page, so I'm imagining, you know, okay, my guess is that's somebody a lot younger than me,
yeah.
Who probably
yeah.
has 500 Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And you have that many, do you?
No, I've only got about 300.
Yeah. But I think most people of my kind of age, who you know, use Facebook in a different way to that, so
yeah.
The people we have on Facebook we know well, and we wouldn't need to make a comment like that.
342.
That's because you have too much time to spend. You spend too much time on Facebook.
I think there's definitely a kind of in joke there with the way the language is used. That to me, these people regularly talk like this to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But using that kind of language, does that make sense? It's
yeah.
kind of like I think that's why the apology.
Yeah, but it's like Andrew and I are rude to each other. We're
yeah.
equally rude to each other on Facebook, but I wouldn't feel any need to explain that to other people.
So then that's
no, because the no.
But isn't that because other people can see it and might be shocked that like might think, wow, why are they reacting like this to each other? And then so she feels a need because she knows other people are looking at the profile.
Well, yeah, but I'd expect people who know me well to understand that. And I don't have people who don't know me well on my phone.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah. So maybe the
so
but that is the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you know, the person that you're directing something to is not the only person hearing, reading. And I think that you do get those conflicts on Facebook where you've said something directed to one particular person, but you suddenly realise, you know, you've got other people reading stuff. And I have that all the time.
I'm
going to send Sarah a friend request.
You're not getting on my call, get away.
I think this is frequent as well with someone, and if we're assuming, because I think this is someone.
Yeah, she's only Facebook with a friend.
Sorry, Jack. It's frequent with people who have grown up with Facebook from being a teenager. They get to an age where. I mean,
I think you two are probably best placed to talk about this, actually.
What's interesting is I don't have Facebook, and yours is basically a ghost.
Yeah,
because you get to this point where you start associating with colleagues, and suddenly you have your friends from back home.
Yeah.
And
but that's just a problem.
And you end up doing things like this where you have to sort of think, oh, God, I'm going to have to apologise to my friend. Because I'm worried that people are working with one.
And I know several people who have created themselves a professional account to do those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Jim.
Isn't it possible to decide who you're going to send
It is now, I think.
Rather more important is deciding I'm not going to.
Not at any fine granular level.
You can define groups within your Facebook friends and then choose to post on that group.
Thing with Facebook and the thing that actually pushed me to delete everything was that they just kept changing the rules.
I feel reassured now because I always think I'm just completely inept on Facebook.
I remember because I had Facebook since I was an undergrad, but then when some point it became really popular and people like academics, colleagues, they were adding you there, but now I think Twitter as well has taken over that academic role, so people that want to associate with each other do it on Twitter now, I think, like in an academic way, which actually is a better way because it's more controlled, I think.
Isn't it more overtly
public?
Yeah.
Is that the thing? So that
you don't have to be invited.
Remarks that you realise, oh God, shouldn't have said that or something.
And of course, there's a link to a public Twitter feed.
Mm.
Usually, people say, you know, my name, University X, views my own. People say that rather than, whereas you would never get that on a personal Facebook account, would you?
Mm.
So I think there is that conscious of that knowledge that your employees will be looking at it. You are the face of it.
But also, I think on Twitter you can unfollow someone much more easily than you can on, like, you know, to unfriend someone on Facebook.
Oh, it's
really
very easy to
unfriend.
I think it's very easy.
Yes, but then they find out, and then
they've
got social consequences.
Yeah.
Whereas on Twitter,
they find
you don't really
because
they
it flashes
seeing
up.
Your
feed. Yeah. They get told that you.
Do they?
No,
they
really?
Don't.
No,
that's
what
they
did.
No, but they can work it out.
But
like, I don't really know when should go to like who's on philipme.com or something like that, and they actually track. Yeah. Some other paranoid academics that I know do that. Careful.
So I don't play with Twitter, so I haven't really done that. I just think it's just it's yet another time sink.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
We done?
Bang on time.
Yep.
Right, press stop. Excuse me, Jim, while I reach across to you.